We're talking about three of the top five trends in video creation, and we're talking about it next, only on 100 TV. Let's do a show.
It's time for the Stream Leader Report. Discover the hottest trends in digital media. Here's your host, Ross Brand.
Thank you, Jody. It's great to be back on the Stream Leader Report, episode number 2. We're continuing our conversation about the top 5 trends in video creation. We covered 2 last week. We talked about the power of collaboration and, in particular, the value of forming a network, much like we're doing right here with 100 TV. And we also discussed video podcasting on YouTube. Well, we've got 3 more of the top 5 trends to cover. We're going to do that. Plus, Coach Jenny from Monday Morning Moxie, a fellow 100 TV host, will be joining us. So sit back, relax. It's going to be a busy show and a fun show today. I'm Ross Brand from Livestream Universe. This is episode 2 of the Stream Leader Report. And let's get back to our top 5. As I mentioned, number 1 was collaboration. Number 2 was video podcasting on YouTube, or podcasting on YouTube, audio and video podcasting, and where that's going. So let's get to number 3. Number 3 is something that's been around for a little while now, but it's undeniable that it's an important part of your video strategy, and that is vertical videos, TikToks and YouTube Shorts and Instagram Reels. We're talking about vertical videos of 59 seconds or less that people use to grab attention. It's a great way to capture the attention of the viewer. I think if you run them and somebody watches one, the platform's more likely to feed you another of theirs and another. So there's no question that you can get your brand in front of people by using vertical video. It's where the attention of the viewer is, and it's a priority for the platforms. So if you can take clips from your live streams, if you can prepare and use the tools that these platforms are giving you, you're going to have an edge by using vertical video. The other thing to note with this when we're talking about trends is I don't know how long TikTok is going to be around for. Recently, the government in Washington, D.C. had the CEO of TikTok in, and there's talk about whether TikTok is dangerous to kids, about whether the Chinese government's using it to spy on Americans, to steal our data, and there's some talk that TikTok might be banned. So my only thought there, I'm not weighing in on the politics of this, but since there is a chance, or at least talk, that TikTok might not be long for the U.S. market, it would be a good idea to take your content that you're putting on TikTok, if that's your primary place where you share these short vertical videos, and move them over to Instagram, put them on YouTube Shorts, and going forward, maybe think about YouTube Shorts and Instagram Reels as your primary places, depending on where your audience is. I don't see any reason why you can't share whatever you're posting from, you know, short vertical videos on all 3 platforms. So the main point is just be aware that TikTok might not be around forever and consider using the other vertical videos platforms where you can put that content. Let's move on to number 4 in our list of the top 5 trends that video creators must know in 2023. And that is ChatGPT, AI. It's controversial. There's a lot going on with it. And whether you like it or not, it's a reality. And people have shown how it can speed your time to getting an episode of your show out. There's a lot of different ways ChatGPT can help. It doesn't mean that you give ChatGPT the assignment of writing a script for you and you read it as is. But when it comes to researching for your episode, when it comes to getting an outline, or even some alternate ways to say what you'd like to say in your video, if you're struggling to come up with content or you get really good at offering prompts to where it can deliver what you're looking for, now you're able to take your transcript, you can share it with ChatGPT. Share it. I'm talking about it like it's a person. And ChatGPT can give you back notes and highlights. One of the things I'm going to try, which I haven't tried, is YouTube chapters. Perhaps ChatGPT can pick out where the chapter markers are with a time-coded script, and that'll be a bit of a savings of time. So it's fun to play around and see all the different things. Now, you may be feeling like I was feeling originally, hey, I'm a writer, I'm a purist, that content's got to come from me and only me. And it's fine to feel that way. But if you're feeling like ChatGPT may be a threat to your job or your position, I would say throwing your head in the sand and not giving it the respect for the impact it's going to have is not the way to go. If perhaps becomes a technology that we ban or pass over as a society, okay. But assuming the probably if you're playing the percentages, the way to go, what to assume is that this is going to be around for a while. And if it is, how do you stay relevant? How do you give yourself job security? You do it in two ways. One way is by learning how it works so that you can be better at both giving it the prompts that get the output that you want and then taking that output and better editing it until it represents something that would more likely come from a human. There are a lot more we could go into, but I just want to touch upon that and then get to number five, which is text-based video editing. Tools like Descript are changing the game. There are people who are doing entire shows in tools like Descript using AI text-based video editing. What does that mean? It means you take the text of your video, you upload your video, or if you're doing an audio podcast, you upload the audio to whatever app you're using, for example, Descript, and you get a transcript. So instead of editing the video by splicing the video on a timeline at certain places where you want to cut out or pick out a highlight to play as a short clip, you go through the text and you select the text that you want to use and you delete the text that you don't want to use. And that's how you both edit your long form and your short form videos. It's a very powerful tool. A lot of people still combine it where they do like a rough cut with a tool like Descript, and then they go and they take that into another editor, one that's, you know, more traditional video editing, and they do some of the final steps there. But nonetheless, it's a powerful tool. I think it's only going to get more powerful. I think the cuts and the, you know, the clipping of different segments out is only going to be cleaner and more precise. These tools like Descript have the ability to optimize your audio. They can take out the ahs and the ums. They can give you studio sound. They can apply a lot of different filters and processing that only, you know, professional editing tools, whether audio editing or video editing tools, provided in the past. So I think it's a very, very powerful thing to take a look at. Joining us right now is the great Coach Jenny. She's the host of Monday Morning Moxie every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on 100 TV. And Coach Jennings not somebody who goes for every new bell and whistle and shiny object. If it doesn't work for her and her business, she's not into it. And yet, the three trends, the three kind of cutting-edge aspects of video creation that we discussed today, she's bought into. And so, before we bring on Coach Jenny, let me just give you a quick introduction to her show.
My name is Coach Jenny, and I am so freaking excited to tell you that I am one of the original creative partners on the brand new network 100 TV. My show is called Monday Morning Moxie with Coach Jenny, and it's happening on, you know, Monday mornings. Each week, I will be delivering you a quick challenge direct from me to you to help you become more productive, more focused, more decisive, and ultimately more confident. I hope you'll tune into my show, Monday Morning Moxie, exclusively on 100 TV.
All right. Welcome, Coach Jenny, to the Stream Leader Report. It's great to have you. Let's start with number three in our list of the top five, which is vertical video. And vertical video can be a little bit silly. It can be a little bit out there. How do you, as a person who's running a business and has clients and has been building a brand as of being helpful for people, not being a clown on video for many years, how have you found that you could integrate vertical video and it make a difference for your business?
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on here, Ross.
It's
I'm happy
great
to talk
about you.
This because I know the vertical video and short videos in particular. It's not just that they're vertical, it's that they're short, they're quick, they're right. Easily consumable. And depending on where you're watching them, they're usually served up kind of randomly. So at first, I'll be very honest, I was skeptical. Like you said, Russ knows me well. I don't hop on all the bandwagons. And, you know, while I do add a lot of humor to my work, it's purposeful humor. It's not, you know, the weird kind of just for entertainment sake or pointing at things and doing this. And I can't do any of that crap and take myself seriously, right? Like, here's the different words I want to say. You look like a game show host. I don't get it. But other people, you do you. For me, I wanted to only use vertical video if I could see a purpose for my business, which is to find more people that I can impact with my work. And because of the popularity of the TikToks and now Clapper and YouTube Shorts and, of course, Instagram Reels and the seven other things that just became a thing while we were talking about this, I don't want to leave those people behind because, again, I'm all about if I might have a way to connect with people, I want to use it. So the way that I approach it is like, how can I use it as a personal challenge, as a content creator, as a writer, to be more concise and hit a point really, really strongly and hopefully hit a call to action that makes people compelled to take it, right? And that call to action is rarely in a, you know, 59-second short to buy something, right. But it might be to DM me or to try something or experiment with something. So I've been using that medium as a kind of extra on everything else that I'm doing. You know, I definitely focus on writing first, but I think it can be an extra way for people to get connected to me and connect to my writing.
Are you writing unique content for those, or are you pulling clips from your other shows and other live streams and things and then, you know, kind of rearranging things and remixing it? And how are you putting those clips together?
I initially thought that it would be easier to pull clips. That's more work. So one thing you need to know about me is I'm about efficiency. And so if it's more work to do that, to spend 30, you know, go through 30 minutes of video to find 50 seconds of it, it's much easier to shoot another 50 seconds. So I've been doing fresh original content, even if it's similar content, you know, similar sentences that I'm pulling. For me, it's much easier to just shoot something fresh.
And are you distributing it across all three of the or more
yes.
platforms? So the
or
same
more,
content.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And the key is I'm not building it and I'm not creating any vertical content in one of the social media platforms. So for example, if you create a reel using the Instagram app, you have that Instagram metadata and the Instagram logo and stuff, mm-hmm. and you upload that over to TikTok. TikTok's like, no, ma'am, I don't want that. And vice versa. They don't really want to play well with each other. So I am producing all of that content with my phone, with the video thing, you know, the photo camera thing that comes
just
with the
built-in photo video
just
app.
The built-in photo video app, filming it. And then of course I used a script as a way to edit it. I get it how I want. And then I upload it to all the different social media apps that that particular thing makes sense for.
Last question on this area. Are you using music from the apps in order to hit like trending music? Are you adding your own, or are you going without any sort of background music?
Zero music. I don't need accompaniment. I don't have any music or any of that additional stuff. I am adding captions though. What I really love, and you just saw it in the intro video that you showed. That's a great example of what it looks like. I'm using my branding, my brand colors, my brand font to have that active caption, because I know that with those videos it's very easy to kind of scroll through them without having the audio turned on. So captions is real important, and I also am connected to the deaf and hard of hearing community. I want to make sure that all of my videos are captioned, so this is a really great way to do that. But I don't care about trends. I understand that trends are about becoming a big deal on TikTok, a big deal on Instagram. I am not in the business of being a big deal on any of these platforms. I'm in the business of making sure people know about Coach Jenny and what we're offering these days. And so these are just places for me to connect with you, not places for me to ride that wave.
All right, let's move to number four, which is ChatGPT. How are you using this technology that has burst onto the scene? I guess it was around in other formats and other apps to some extent, but now it just seems like it's been unleashed on the whole world and everybody's using it some way or complaining about it. It's like been the topic of the of the year, for lack of a better way to put it.
Love it. Yes, absolutely. And how I'm using it is daily, constantly, is the real answer, to be honest with you. I think it's so great because if it can help speed me up and take away some of the self-doubt and blank page syndrome that I usually face when I'm trying to write something or figure out what my next thing is, and ChatGPT can give me an alley-oop, I'm all for it. So to answer your question directly, what I'm using it for is brainstorming. Number one, brainstorming. It's so helpful for that. So big picture, just asking for ideas. You know, hey, I talk a lot about productivity. A lot of people talk about productivity, but going in and doing some prompt engineering, which is a term I'm very proud to know, doing some prompt engineering and asking it, okay, what are some of the not so common things that people are talking about in productivity? And what are some more defiant ideas that we can play with that I wouldn't just think of off of the top of my head? The other thing I'm using it for is to do some of the nitty gritty painful research. I can't even spell SEO. Let me be very real with you. Okay. And so being able to go to ChatGPT and say, hook me up with some SEO love, you know, like I'm writing this blog article. Here's my voice. Here's this blog article. Rewrite this blog article in using my tone of voice, my style, and give me some H2 headers that makes a lot of sense. So write me a strong SEO, thoughtful title and subtitle, or with an Instagram post, you know, what are the right hashtags? I need some general hashtags and I need some, more specific hashtags for this particular post. All of that is not something I want me to spend any time on, or my wife and CEO to spend any time on. So our assistant ChatGPT hooks us up.
Right. Those things can easily fall to the side. I can attest to that. And it's easy to just copy the hashtags from a prior post. It's easy to assume I've got some keywords in there just because I'm writing about the subject, and why wouldn't I be? Like, I do the same thing. Like, if I have only so much time, you put it into the content. So now you're finding a way to solve those things that you would have liked to do and are nice to have, but now you can get them done in a lot faster time without too much elbow grease on your part.
100%. And if I'm being really honest, now I can do them at all. Because a lot of these things I was not doing because I just didn't have the bandwidth. I know a lot of people are whining and complaining about ChatGPT not being the most honest, truthful, perfect thing. Of course it's not. It's still a computer. And so I'm not looking for it to tell me the truths of the world. What I'm looking for is to make sure that it can give me an alley-oop towards what I'm trying to make happen. And I'm trying to write more and pitch more. And here's a quick tip. You know, there's a lot of things you can put in there that is your own work, and just say, you know, say this a little stronger, say this with a little more confidence, and watch all of the self-doubt that you're writing, all the apologies to kind of fall away. And suddenly you're going to say, oh, you know what? This is sharpening my writing. So I feel like I'm becoming a better writer because I'm being more prolific and I'm getting to do a lot more things because ChatGPT makes things quicker.
I love when you give it a prompt to like, add some of this, and then it rewrites it for you, and it says at the end, this should be a good balance between promoting your show and sharing your credentials or whatever. And then, of course, I look it over and I go, nah, I'm going to keep it really simple and just write like three lines. But going through that process gives me an idea of like how to write out a longer form introduction for my show, how to write out a different bio, like just things I hadn't thought of because I've been doing this for so long that you just start falling back on similar things. And it's like, just how does something smart, not a person, but something, a thing that's smart, might go about arranging these details or picking and choosing what to put in that I might not have thought of. And that's,
yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It's really cool. I love using percentages. If you haven't tried this, you guys, you should totally do this. Just say, can you make this 7% more snarky, or make this like 15% more poignant, or, you know, like just asking it to like go up a little percent. If you don't put the percentage and just say, make it funnier. No, bad. And suddenly it's a Robin Williams skit. But if you just say, you know, 5%, 6% or whatever, and you play with those percentages, it's really interesting what it is able to put out there. And again, it just gives me more ideas. And I don't think we should be so afraid of it. Just experiment with it and make it your own.
All right, I want to move on to number 5, which is text-based video editing. This is the one that made me want to have you on when I saw the images of you editing in Descript in your premiere episode. And as somebody who is always out there saying, you know, I'm not a techie, I'm not, you know, high production and all that, wow, I was impressed at how you are doing your entire show in Descript. Tell us real quick about what text-based editing has done for you and why you've gravitated to that versus, you know, traditional video editing.
Oh my gosh, I love it. When Descript came out, I didn't really understand AI yet. You know, it didn't really market itself as an AI, but it had a lot of humor in the way that it was describing itself. So it caught my attention. And this concept of text-based editing and changing the text around, copying and pasting and moving things around, and it would change the video, was game-changing to me. Before that, I was using what I already had. You know, I'm a Mac girl, so I had iMovie, and I was learning how to make you know, cuts so I could have like jump cuts. I like to have a lot of jump cuts in my videos. I never breathe. So I just do all the jump cuts, you know, I like that style. And this did it so much smoother than I could do it. And I didn't have to use the blade and all these silly tools. I'm a smart woman and I can learn how to do those things. And I have better things to do because I'm not a video editor. I'm not putting down video editors. I think what you do is amazing. I'm a coach. I have a message. I that's what I want to spend my time doing. And so Descript lets me approach it as a writer. So yes, I'm download, you know, I'm dropping in a video and then it's transcribing it. And then I can see all my ums and ahs and all these little rest marks where I've, you know, paused for a moment. It is magical. It changes how I actually record my videos, because now what I can do is I can write my script, read a sentence, and then give it a few takes, like I'm an actor or something. Like, today I would like to tell you about blah blah blah. Let me try that
so
again.
You have and, so you have multiple takes within your transcript, and you go,
yes.
I like two better than one and three. You cut one and three, and now you've got your first sentence of your video, and you go on to the next block of text.
Exactly.
Next thing you're talking about.
My workflow is that I wait until whatever my last time I say that sentence is the one I wanted. And so I don't actually have to go in and listen to one, two, and three. I know that three is the one I wanted because I stopped talking when I got the take I wanted. And so that becomes my workflow. So the first thing I do is I drop in a 30-minute video and say, okay, I only want 7 minutes of this thing, but I'm deleting all the duplicate. It's really wonderful.
Now, are you always doing the video first, or do you ever find yourself actually writing the script within the script?
I haven't done that yet, but I'm very fascinated. The idea where I could write a script and maybe take one of my blog posts that's already written, drop it in there and use their overdub process. I haven't done this yet, where it actually like dubs my voice and creates a video. Right. I think that's really fascinating. And like you said a little earlier, the script used to be meant for podcasters. So the idea was you moved the words around and it fixed the audio. But now that they have upped their game with video, they have all kinds of things in the video library. So it's very easy to break things into scenes and drop pictures and text and GIFs and my extra B-roll video, their B-roll video, and really turn it into something that I'm really proud of. And most of my time is spent editing words like a word processor.
It's really powerful, and I'm just learning it. I use it for part of my video, and then I still take it elsewhere. I have a little trouble layering in different videos and text as precisely as I want to. I can do it for short videos, but I'm still like, for the long form video, let me throw it in another editor and just add that text. But eventually, I think I'm going to get to the point where I might be able to do an entire show in there just like you do. It's really, really powerful. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's come a long way. And I totally understand where you're at because you're a video guy, right? Like you teach people how to live stream. You do all of these things. So you have a more precise eye for these things. For me, done is better than perfect. And I just want to make sure that I'm getting it out there. And so I just decided to completely embrace Descript so I don't have to learn a second thing. And we can just get this thing done.
Right. What's one feature of it that you wouldn't expect that it has that's made a difference for you?
Oh my gosh, the fancy captions. That's what they call it. The fancy captions where they're on the screen is mind-blowingly cool, and you have so many different choices of what you can do and customize it. What you usually see from me is I do two different kinds. If you watch any of my videos, the one with the orange box is I'm using the active word, and that is such a good tool for capturing attention of like the active word is this orange box. And then they also have one that is like karaoke where it shows up and you kind of have like the grayed out words as you go and they kind of pop up. I just love how interactive that feels. And it mimics what Instagram gives us if you build it in Instagram. But here I can control literally by just hitting the return key. I can say, I only want these six words on that line. I only want these six words and then these three words. And I want to emphasize these two words and make them all caps. And I'm blown away by how intuitively I can do that.
Yeah, that's amazing. For those who are interested in Coach Jennings coaching, where can they go to find you?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for asking. Coach Jenny. Jenny with an IE, not Jenny with a Y. CoachJenny.com is where you can find me, or on all of the major social media platforms at Coach Jenny, except TikTok. Somebody beat me to that one, but that's okay. You'll find me over there too.
All right. Thanks so much. The show is Monday Morning Moxie. It is every Monday, as you would expect the Monday Morning Moxie to be, on 100 TV, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. It's a great show. Please check it out. And thank you again, Coach Jenny, for being here.
Thank you.